This is Ozarks at Large. We have a wide variety of interviews in our studios over the course of a month. Sometimes our guests bring something with them to help with the discussion. Earlier this week, Stephen Weber from Montanora Estates, a winery near Portland, Oregon, had his hands full.
I've actually brought in three wines, which I think are going to show very nicely for obviously ourselves today, and hopefully we can relay that experience to our listeners.
He had with him a 2010 Borealis blend, a white wine he had been in charge of, a 2011 Pinot Rosé, and a 2008 Pinot Noir. Stephen was in town to discuss the Montanora label at a dinner at Greenhouse Grill and tastings at some local wine retailers. Montanora Estates has become known in wine circles for its commitment to a sustainable approach to making wine from the vineyards and beyond. Before we reach for the corkscrew to taste the wine he brought in, I asked him about the process of biodynamic winemaking, something he calls a responsible stewardship of the land.
The responsibility or responsible manner in which the fruit is grown. We for example, now at Montanora, we don't use any synthetic fertilizers or spray treatments. And I think it produces wines with really nice structure and body, great structure and body, and allows the fruit character to really come through. So, but I think overall, it's really about being responsible and helping our customers learn about that method and how it can. It's basically sending a message to our customers, present and future, that we're very genuine in our intentions and we're trying to create a very pleasurable wine drinking experience for them.
Is it harder to make a quality wine that way?
I think overall probably it is harder, yes, but it's really about the attention to detail all the time, and it's just being a little bit more thoughtful, both out in the vineyard and in the winery. It's about really not to necessarily following like a recipe style grape growing formula or a recipe style winemaking formula. It's about really looking at the ferments as individual bodies, if you like, and kind of listening to what the ferments are telling you or listening to what the grapes are telling you. So one block might be just fine, so perhaps leave that alone and don't take any action on that at a particular time or a particular ferment at a particular time. Another ferment might be screaming out for something. It's about, you know, really just being on the ball with looking at everything as an individual and then trying to collectively bring it together, obviously, in the winery and to put the finished product into bottles. So,
Stephen Weber says Montanora Estates has been practicing the sustainable winemaking for the past 8 years. Stephen himself has been interested in the art and science of creating wine since he was in his late teens in his native England. He studied the craft in Australia and has since begun his work in Oregon. He specializes in overseeing the white wines created at Montanora. From the grapes on the vine to the wine in the barrels, any one of many decisions he makes can have an effect on the finished product. Stephen says it takes experience to know when to do something and especially when not to. Of course, knowing if the right formula of decisions was made might not be known for years.
Yeah, the true reality can never be of your decision can never be shown fully until obviously it's the wine's in bottle. But then, of course, the wine continues to develop in bottle over many years in some circumstances. And sometimes you get it right and sometimes absolutely right. And sometimes you get it a little bit wrong, and hopefully you never get it absolutely wrong. But it's tough. It's tough, and I think the only benefit that you can draw from sometimes is that, you know, if you do something and it doesn't quite work out as you anticipated, perhaps 2 months, 4 months, a year down the line, then the nice thing is that every new vintage that comes along, you've got like a clean slate. And if you're smart, you'll go back to your previous vintages, your previous mistakes, if you've made mistakes or things you could have done better. And of course, you know, you really want to always try and do better. So then you can improve on those, go with those notes and start a new slate with a fresh batch of fruit and hopefully try and make sure you don't make the same mistake again if there was one made. So
Stephen Weber brought along a bottle of a vintage he cared for from beginning to end, the aforementioned Borealis blend. After pouring, he gave the glass a vigorous swirl to release the aromatics, notes of melon, papaya, and citrus.
Got some lightness to it. It's got some nice liveliness. I mean, the Borealis is not a very, you know, hugely alcoholic wine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about 11.5% alcohol. So again, that's all to do with the balance, again, with the relationship between the sugar and acidity in the wine, obviously the fruit character, and then the alcohol, and how it feels in your mouth and how it finishes is very important. So I think, you know, the finish on this wine is lovely because it finishes really nice. It starts off just with that little hint of sweetness, opens up in the mouth, and then finishes really nice, crisp and dry.
You mentioned a hint of papaya. Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I got the answer to that, actually.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's amazing, actually, what wine grapes can really give out. You know, sometimes at the time of harvest, when you actually taste the fruit, sometimes you get some really vivacious flavors. For example, in Gewürztraminer, you can really get some spicy aromatic flavors actually in the fruit, primarily from the fact, for example, with Gewürztraminer that, you know, you get a lot of flavors in the skins. But not in all wine grapes. And so, for example, Pinot Gris, you don't always get an awful lot from the grape at the time of harvest. But during fermentation, an awful lot of esters are developed. A lot of flavors start to come out that you never really would have imagined were there. And then come the end point when we're talking about putting a tasty note together for the given wine, a lot of changes have happened in the wine, and a lot of changes are still going to take place in bottle. And it's a very interesting time when we can construct a tasting note, and all manner of flavors that really never would have thought could be possible in a wine are actually there.
Wow.
Particularly with the Borealis, it should be noted that, you know, we've got four different grape varieties here. Mm-hmm. So, we've got Müller Thurgau, Pinot Gris, Riesling, and Gewürztraminer. So you've got an awful lot of dynamic going on between those four varieties, which is really neat in terms of the final product and what fruit flavors are going to glean from that.
When you taste something that you worked with for a long time, can you go back and think about that very vintage that year?
I can, yes. Yeah, I can truly only say that as a winemaker. Prior to 2009 at Montenor Estate, I was assistant winemaker. And you know, when you're assistant, you're close in on the action, but you're not quite, you know, you're not making the lead decisions, things don't commit to memory quite so well. But I can assure you, as a winemaker, everything commits to memory like glue.
So, really?
Yeah, it's true.
So if you're taking a 2009 that you helped escort to this point, you can think, oh, that's the one that I waited that extra day to do that.
I can almost go back that far, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I think a lot of it is, again, because of the fact that it's working at a hands-on winery and, again, making all the decisions for that wine, it's in your head all the time. You know, I can't say I sleep on, you know, I eat, drink, and sleep wine kind of thing. But I'll be honest, I do a lot of nighttime thinking about my work, which annoys my wife a great deal, of course. but you know, I think for the conscientious winemaker, it does. It really kind of sticks to memory.
Stephen Weber is a white winemaker with Montenor Estates near Portland, Oregon. He was in Northwest Arkansas this week to discuss his wines and host a few tastings with retailers. He did bring more than one kind of wine when he visited our studio. Well, can we try something else?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's have a look at our rosé next.
To hear what he has to say about that wine and more about his thoughts on the world of wine, you can go to our website, ozarksatlarge.com, and look for the audio extra associated with this story. This is Ozarks at Large.